Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Dr. Susan Edwards of the Frist Museum in Nashville, Tennessee. We're talking about the Nick Cave exhibition. It's called Feet, with an EA, as in hard work attaining success. He's such a talented guy, I'm really excited to hear about it. Enjoy! Okay, guys, I had no idea what a CRM was. When I found out, I wondered how in the world I've gotten along without it. Well, the answer is, I haven't. A CRM is a technology that helps you improve business relationships. It manages all your interactions with customers and potential customers in a much better way than my former sticky note filing system. It's much more organized. And best of all, it helps streamline your processes and improve your profitability. And you'll get some special deals just for Let's Talk Art with Brooke listeners. Now on to my interview with Susan. So tell me about the Nick Cave exhibition.
So, that's an exhibition that opened here last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with his work at all?
Yeah, I've heard of him, and I just started looking into his stuff, you know, recently because I was talking to you about it. And he's really talented. He does it all.
Oh, my gosh. So the exhibition opens here November 10th, and it continues here until June 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes his sound suits and video work and installation and some, you know, freestanding pieces. Mm-hmm. But the Nick Cave's work came about, basically his sound suits, for which he's most famous, evolved after the Rodney King beating
decision,
and so forth. And he was sitting in the park, and he sitting there thinking about how incredibly vulnerable he felt as an African-American male.
Right.
And he started just sort of putting tweaks together and different things to think about, isn't it a shame that we look at people in terms of their gender and their race, and we just don't look at people as for their soul?
Right.
So he went back to his studio and began sort of creating these environments that became what he refers to as his sound suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he had previously been a dancer with the Alvin Ailey Dance Troupe.
Cool.
New York.
Yeah.
So he understood movement and music, and obviously he has an incredible flair for visual connections and so forth. So then he created these sound suits, which are always popular. We had them here previously in an exhibition called 30 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just inspirational to students and all kinds of, you know, local sound poets. A woman named Stephanie Pruitt wrote a poem, and then one of the students at the School of Art and Design here, public school, magnet school, you know, started making art based on it. So it was clear to us, you know, that we could do a bigger show with Nick Cave and it would resonate. And it's not just that he makes the art, he comes into a community to make a difference. So while our exhibition opened in November, he had been here much longer than that to work with people in the community. So in early April, we had a major performance that involved all kinds of people from the community. Over 1,000 people were involved. In fact, over 118 actual performers from various community partners. And we ended up partnering with the Nashville Symphony, and it was held at the Symphony, but local high schools and, I mean, students, you know, local marching band and gospel groups and you know, sound poets and spoken word and all kinds of people were involved, but also about giving voice to the entire community, homeless people, people of privilege, people who have Down syndrome. I mean, it was an enormous, you know, year-long project.
Wow.
And he is just so sincere about bringing everyone into a conversation and being sure that we are looking at one another as equal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will say one of the most moving things for me, it was in the debrief following the performance, just listening to people who are formerly homeless, mm-hmm. just so grateful that they could be part of a project, a Behaved Art project, and in our symphony hall. And mm-hmm. then the other thing that was just very eye-opening for me, because I think, you know, we're also doing a project on mass incarceration now, and the civil rights project. So, I mean, it's not as though I feel I'm completely out of touch with my community, but I learned in doing this project that there were children who had never been downtown.
Wow.
And I think that we often live, even if you're trying to be a nice person, you kind of live in with a level of privilege that you forget.
Right.
I mean, you know, and I volunteer in the public schools and so forth, but, you know, we all have so much to learn from one another, and about how we might be unconsciously biased.
Mm-hmm.
And not know it just by virtue of the fact that we've had so much good luck in life.
Right.
So the Nick Cave exhibition continues to draw people, and they are constantly inspired by it and moved by it. I wish you could come see it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, this is an exhibition that, after it leaves us, will go to Orlando,
mm-hmm.
The Orlando Museum of Art, and then to the Akron Museum of Art.
Okay, cool.
Perhaps, so it's traveling. Mm-hmm. So we're very proud of that. It may go to some other places, but we don't have contracts on this yet.
So.
I probably chewed your ear off about Nick Cave.
Oh, no, please do. That's awesome. That's really cool. I was curious though, with the visual performance where they're dancing and stuff. How does he choreograph all that? And he's like they're singing too. So it's like kind of like an opera, like a, I don't know. It's like a musical or like a.
Right. Well, he gets all these people together. Now he does have a choreographer who trained the dancers, mm-hmm. and we use professional and student dancers, but the real dancers to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to our website, you can see the performance.
Yeah, I watched it.
And I actually could mail you one of the brochures from the event.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would give you the names. All the because we had composers, we had choreographers, we had opera singers, we had the band director from one of the high school, Pearl Cone High School, here has a, you know, a drum corps that was here for our opening. So they have like, you know, a super, super cool marching band, and then people who sing gospel music. And so everyone in the community was involved. So Nick is kind of, you know, at the top, but he didn't compose all the music and he didn't do all the choreography himself, but he hires the person he engaged. I mean, we hire everybody, but, you know, he knows who he's getting and who he can trust and
mm-hmm.
interviews them and tells them, gives them his vision, he shares his vision, and then so everywhere he does this, it's different.
Yeah.
So if you go on YouTube, you'll see, like, one of the most telling places was in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and so you can see those things. But, you know, one of the pieces that he performed, we had our community partners make these beaded blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a bunch of them here on staff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this performance, you know, Nick is kind of buried under all of these blankets. And
right.
Blankets sort of become your troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And he lifts them like Atlas
mm-hmm.
and drags them off the stage. So that was one of the pieces. It's called Blanket Statement.
Right. Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And then Yeah. And then another one of the performances is called Stand Up. And you have these people who were from, mostly from the other arts organizations in town, the director of the Fisk University Art Gallery, the Manifesting Gallery. He was one of the facilitators, and you know, people from our staff and people from Oz Art Nashville and mm-hmm. people from Down Syndrome of Middle Tennessee. I mean, just all kinds of people participating. Mm-hmm. But they would then dress the initiates. So people come out in kind of in their street clothes, and then they take those off, but underneath it they have like a leotard. Mm-hmm. And then the people who are working this, they dress them like one of his sound suits. Not, I mean, they're just so over the top, you can't believe it. And then they dance. And then they dance.
Oh,
and then
wow.
they perform.
Wow.
So those are, I mean, it's just amazing. And then the last piece is called Herd, like a herd of animals.
Okay.
And these are professional dancers, the game. But some of them came from MTSU and other, you know, graduate programs in dance. So they're professional, but they're, you know, still
students.
In school and studying.
So. Right.
So a mix of those. And then they are dressed like the head and the bottom of horses. So they come
wow.
out and, you know, it's kind of a, it's like a roundup, you know, mm-hmm. the rodeo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the horses break apart and do this really kind of wild dance. So, I mean, just at the debriefing, you know, one of the adults with Down syndrome was interviewed, and someone said, what did you like about this? And he said, I liked it because I've never been in a Schermerhorn, you know, I've never been to a symphony. So that was
wow.
really special for him.
Yeah.
And then one of the people from our staff who deals with community engagement said to him, but what was your really favorite part? And he said, the horse butts. And you know, I have to say, it was my favorite part too. So it was just so, I mean, everyone was so moved by this. And,
I bet.
You know, I don't know whether our, you can get on our website, I think, and if not on YouTube,
right.
and you can see these things, but it's just really exciting.
Yeah, I think the whole performance was just, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was just fantastic, and it's just the movement and everything. And I was thinking, if it's traveling, does he have a whole new group like every time he does this?
Yes, and every city doesn't do as, and you know, you might want to be in touch with him too, because I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But he's just such a nice, nice guy.
Oh, I'd love to.
And, okay, you know, Buddy Kite, who's our PR person
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
Did you go? He might be able to make a match
okay.
for you to talk directly to Nick. But
cool, thank
so
you.
So if you look at the video from Shreveport, it was a much smaller thing. He had done Herd, I think, in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, at the first, you know, might be a little bit embarrassing, but we didn't say no to anything.
Yeah.
Whatever idea came up with, we said yes.
Well, why would
and,
you say no?
Well, I mean, it was very expensive, but
yeah.
we got money from the National Endowment for the Arts. We got money from Metro National Arts Commission.
Mm-hmm.
We raised money. We, you know, had his exhibition here for 6 months, which, you know, was like two slots for us, so we saved a little bit then, but
mm-hmm.
but it was life changing and once in a lifetime sort of thing, you know. So it was, you can't always do that, but
right.
it was just really gratifying that we could do it this time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he's so great. He does. Yeah, he like I said, he does it all. So, and you have
yeah.
you have a lot of his other stuff too, right? His other paintings,
what do you mean?
Like his
the installation here, the exhibitions has sound suits, the video work, some two nothing's two-dimensional.
Yeah.
It has this enchanted forest that's a kind of a whole double gallery installation.
Wow.
That he could tell you more about. And then some more three-dimensional works. That's what I would say. So, you know, I thought there was this big buildup that a lot of people who were coming to the exhibition since November, I thought maybe things would trickle out after the performance, but they didn't. I mean, people are still coming.
Yeah. Yeah. So you say everyone's loving this?
They love it. And it's been something that's really gratifying for us,
mm-hmm.
to be able to touch this. I think that there's some fear that we've become such a divided nation.
Oh, yeah.
And more divided now than at the Rodney King event. And decision. And so to be able to do something for our community that's so healing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I could be naive about Nashville, but I do think it is a community that really has thrived creatively because of collaboration here.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't atypical of things that happened in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
It was just great for us to be a part of it.
Right, right, right. So has it sparked any dialogue or any conversations or any kind of change or anything positive that you see? I'm sure you've seen positive things from it.
Well, yes. I mean, and they occurred for the whole, 18 months that we're putting this together. As I was telling you, we had over 1,000 people involved in that.
Right.
And so just the fact that all these people came together,
mm-hmm.
to do this,
mm-hmm.
is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the fact that we got to, as I said, for me personally, I changed by learning that there are children who haven't even been downtown.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. You change people on all sides.
Yeah.
You change people who have privilege and take it for granted, and you can change people who are marginalized and give them access.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that, exposing all of us,
mm-hmm.
to one another, but also to remind, we had 3 sold out performances.
Wow.
Sold out. It was free,
mm-hmm.
but you had to book.
Right, right.
And Symphony was in charge of the tickets, and they've never had anything, go like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And we were very afraid that there were bots and, people buying groups. Not buying groups, but signing up for groups to tickets. No, it was individual.
Right. Wow.
Now, in the end, not everyone shows up for a free ticket, as you know.
Right.
But there were other people who came.
Who came to fill in.
And took the seat. Yeah. So there were. It was just really. I would say, do we see change? We all changed personally.
Yeah.
I mean, once you live through something and work together with people in your community on something, you're always changed.
Yeah, totally.
And they're changed too.
Totally.
So, as I said earlier, I think it was a big healing, community-wide healing process, which is exactly what, you remember what Rodney King had said.
Right.
Can't we just all get along?
Yeah.
And so I think Nick took that as a call to action,
mm-hmm.
for the rest of his life.
Right.
I mean, he did it very well in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so you say that it was a free show. How hard or how easy was it to get all those people together, like the symphony and everyone? I mean, were they all kind of jumping at the, were they eager to do it? Or they were just kind of like, this is a free show. I don't know if I want to do it. I believe in it, but...
Well, that was the 18 months. Of preparation with our community partners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to say that one of the reasons that it worked is because we also have 18 years of experience,
mm-hmm.
with working with different community partners.
Mm-hmm.
So when we approach our partners with this project, there's a level of trust that we've been building,
mm-hmm.
every year. So it's not like wasn't like a cold call.
Right, right.
We already had those relationships. Mm-hmm. So while our educators for community engagement, you know, worked with Nick and with other artists, and then when we contact, you know, the dance company, it's like, wasn't a cold call. These are relationships we already have.
Right.
Did it go deeper? Yes. Mm-hmm. But we had no problem getting people to trust us,
yeah,
and be a part of this. And as I said, we've had Nick's work here before, and it already really resonated through the public schools. And so, yeah, it's just like a, you know, it's just it's the reward for the other 18 years.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And who wouldn't want to work with Nick Cave? I mean, hey, that's awesome.
Well, and we didn't really have to explain it much, but he also met with people, and he's just so engaging. I have to say, he is adorable with children.
Oh.
And tenderness. That,
oh, I think.
And they love him. And at the opening, so we didn't do a book for this exhibition. We didn't do a catalog. We created a piece, a kind of one of a, not one of a kind, but a multiple.
Right.
And, you know, we had people contribute text, but it's a big, long textile that you could use for a blanket or a wall hanging or something like that. And different people in the community contributed to it. And at the opening, you know, people were in tears.
I mean, like that.
It is so, it gets to your soul.
Yeah.
And that's what art is supposed to do.
That's exactly
when
what it's supposed to do. Yeah.
When it works,
mm-hmm.
you know, it touches you deeply.
Right.
And it changes you.
Yes.
We could not have been more pleased. And I honestly think that everyone who made it to the performance is just, I mean, when I see them, they just go like, wow, wow. I mean, it exceeded our expectations. Because I've seen other performances, and, I mean, the big stage, the professional, I mean, dealing with it, you know, everything was first class, and it made all the difference in the world. I mean, you can do this in any community on any budget,
right?
Because you just bring people together, and they'll do their best,
right?
But there were no holds barred on this one, and it was completely gratifying.
Oh, that's so awesome! This is so great. I'm just so happy about this. I bet you guys are just kind of, are you kind of just exhausted in a good way, but I mean, just kind of like.
No, well, you know, I think the people who participated were more tired than I, because it took a lot of rehearsals too.
Yeah.
And a huge, huge commitment on the part of a lot of people, because some people were rehearsing for months, and then some people, like the people who were dressing the performers, I mean, they had to come, you know, all week and learn their parts and come to a dress rehearsal, and then, you know, they had their rehearsals, and then there was an official dress rehearsal, and then there were two performances.
Wow.
So, but, you know, it was a big time commitment.
Yeah.
It's physical work, too.
Yeah.
So, you know. But it was so gratifying because I'll say another thing about the debriefing. One of the opera singers announced to all these young people who are involved, you know, okay, this might be your first time in the Schermerhorn Symphony Hall, but you didn't just visit. You performed here. So there's no reason in your life that you can't come back and perform here again.
Absolutely.
And you can perform as a symphony. You can study classical music. You can study opera. You're not excluded from these genres.
Exactly.
And so these are their, you know, people of color telling other, you know, young people of color that this is your world. This is part of your heritage as well. It's not just, you know, the dominant culture of Western European. We are part of America, and this is part of our collective heritage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it was beautiful. I mean, beautiful in every possible way.
Oh, that sounds so amazing. That sounds so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing it with me, for telling me about it.
Yeah.
It's been so great talking to you again.
My pleasure. We hope you'll come see us, Brooke.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to make a trip to Nashville sometime. Just not sure when. But, yeah.
And the Upfreeze Amigi is kind of opening this summer.
Okay.
It's going to be really great.
Yeah, I definitely want to schedule one for that, too.
Okay. At your convenience.
Cool.
Always here for you.
Thank you so much to Dr. Susan Edwards of the Frist Museum in Nashville, Tennessee, for talking about the Nick Cave exhibition, which sounds so great, and I just really wish I could see it. But if you're in the Nashville area, you should make a trip out. It goes until June 24th. So if you're in the area, you'll definitely want to see this. This has been a Hotspur Media production.